Let's keep that hand clap of praise going unto the Lord tonight. Come on, church. I know it's a Tuesday night. I know you're tired. But His Spirit is still moving in this place on a Tuesday night the same way it does on a Sunday morning. His Spirit is still moving. You know, I had a stressful day, and I've had a stressful few weeks, but and the devil was trying to fight me today, saying, I don't know if I can preach tonight. I'm just not in that mindset. But that goes away as soon as Jesus shows up on the scene. As soon as Jesus shows up, He can turn your life around. He can turn your mind around and get you thinking the right way. You know, I'm so thankful to be here tonight. I give honor to our pastor in his absence. He's representing us at General Conference. So I give honor to him in his absence. I give honor to my wife, who just took my daughter to the bathroom, but you could tell her that I gave her honor tonight. I give honor to my family. I love them. I couldn't be here without them. And I'm so thankful for this church. We had a wonderful church picnic on Sunday. It was a wonderful time of fellowship. We got a little bit of rain, but that kept it cool for us. No one passed out. Sister Co, you didn't pass out this year, so that's good. That's positive. But we just had a great time, and I'm so thankful for this church. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to start in chapter 1 and verse 13. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And then if you want to be ready, we're going to jump back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, and read Psalm 119, verse 57. But first, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. If you're there with me, shout out amen. If you don't have a Bible, the scriptures are provided for you on the screens. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, "In whom," Jesus Christ, "ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." And then going back to the Old Testament, Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, but don't worry, we're only going to read one verse. Psalm 119, verse 57. "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Thou art my portion, O Lord." Everybody say, "He's my portion." Say it again like you really believe that. He's my portion. I'm going to preach to you with the help of the Lord tonight on that reality. He is my portion. Jesus is my portion. Let's put our Bibles down or your devices down or anything that you have in your hand, and let's lift our hands up to heaven right now, and let's pray that the Holy Ghost speaks to us tonight. He's already moving in this place, but let's pray that His voice be heard over the next few moments. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your mighty presence, Lord. We thank You for giving us a portion of You, God. We thank You for filling our lives and being with us at every moment, Lord. Lord, right now I ask that You open the hearts and the minds of Your people tonight, Lord, so they might hear the words that You want them to hear. Anoint these lips, Lord, and let Your words come out, Lord. God, we love You today. We give You all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and the musicians may go down. He is my portion. He is my portion. If you don't know, I have a brother, and his name is Teddy. But my brother Teddy, he grew up as an only child for 7 years. My parents adopted him as a baby because the doctors told my mom that she would never be able to have children. Professionals told her it would be a miracle if she ever conceived a child. Medical professionals told my wife for years that she was unable to have children of her own. And with that, I can't help but to think of the Word of God. And I went to the book of 1 Samuel. And if you aren't familiar with Samuel's story, he had a mother named Hannah who was also barren. But she prayed a prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 1, often referred to as Hannah's prayer or Hannah's song. And God miraculously opened up her womb, and she was given a child, Samuel. And then she gave that child back to the Lord for his service. And I just came to preach a little bit tonight that if God did it before, then he can do it again. You are looking at a miracle. I am looking at a little miracle in that second row right there. I am looking at miracles all over this house tonight. Now, you might not think that you have a physical miracle to share, but I don't wonder if there's anyone in this house tonight that can just lift their hands and say, I am a miracle of salvation. I am a miracle of salvation. I once was lost, but now I am found. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was heading in the wrong direction, but Jesus, he picked me up. He turned me around, and he placed my feet on solid ground. Jesus is a miracle worker. And from my very first breath in the womb, and pardon me for any political bias here tonight, but if you didn't know, life begins in the womb. So from my very first breath in the womb to the very last breath that I just took 1 second ago, I declare that Jesus is my portion. He is my portion. Let's give him some praise all over this house tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being my portion tonight. Now, as a still developing parent, I'm only 9 years into it, but I was raised in a family with a sibling who was 7 years older than me, who was and still is completely opposite of me. So I had many imaginary friends growing up. Don't judge me for that. And I still do have a lot of imaginary friends. Don't judge me for that. But now I'm raising and being part of a family with siblings who were the same age. Literally, the same age. I've received a fast education. For instance, when it comes to toys or clothes or even food, I never had to worry about that. I was into sports. My brother was into computers. I had my own snacks that I liked. My brother had his own snacks that he liked. I had my own style. He had his own style. I was into girls. He was into books. I didn't have to worry about it. But now with the twins, forget it. If there's not two of everything, it's the end of the world. They fight over shoes. They fight over the food they eat. They have a giant toy chest full of different things. But when one is using something, the other one just has the urge to use the same thing at the same time. It's the craziest thing. And let me just tell you, if you go to a twin's birthday party and you get them one toy to share, that is not going to end well. It's not going to end well. You see, each child, each individual wants their own portion. It's our human nature. We want it our way. We don't want to share. We want a quantity that's all for ourselves. Ask Cain and Abel. Ask Jacob and Esau. Human nature is to be our own nature, is to be self-sufficient or self-reliant. Society even praises a self-made man. But in the kingdom of God, none of us are self-sufficient. You can't really take up your own cross and follow Jesus and still choose your own portion and still have it your way. Jim Elliot, a famous missionary, made a statement that has become a life motto to many. He said, and I quote, "He is no fool who loses what he cannot gain in order to gain what he cannot lose." And I came tonight to encourage someone and speak a word from heaven's throne into your spirit tonight. There is no portion that can satisfy your soul like Jesus can. Don't fight this fight in your own strength. You were not created to have to fight alone in this life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And Paul continued to the church in Galatia, and he said it in chapter 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me." You see, Jesus is my portion. He's my all in all. He gives more grace where sin abounded in my life. It had me captive. It had me tied up where sin was abounding and bouncing around. Grace did much more abound. Somebody finish quoting this with me. "My God shall supply all my needs." You see, I'm not self-sufficient in myself. I need a helper. I need a savior. I need Jehovah Jireh to be my provider, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout, "Jesus is my portion tonight." When we see or we hear the word portion in Scripture, in the Hebrew connotation and other translations, the word portion is representative of an inheritance or a special blessing that would be passed down. In the Old Testament, the passing down of lands as an inheritance was a strategic focus, and it literally helped shape generation after generation after generation. And if you're interested in this type of study, go to Leviticus chapter 7, and it gives the account of how the 12 tribes of Israel were divided and were given a blessing or a portion for a specific territory. But then King David came along. And if you didn't know it, King David was also used in the prophetic. And King David took his pen and he wrote in Psalm 16, verse 5, he said, "God, I now realize you are my portion." What was David prophetically shifting? He was shifting the narrative from mere lands or territories or cattle or flock or precious metals. And he was setting the stage for a future covenant that when you get Jesus, it's not about your house. It's not about your territory. It's not about your finances. And all of those things we have to be diligent about and take care of, but that is secondary to the reality that when you get sealed with the Holy Ghost, you get Jesus. And then Jesus himself becomes your portion. Jesus himself becomes your portion. You get everything, Brother Carl. You get everything. Everything that you lack, he fills up. Everything that is insufficient in and of itself, and there is a whole lot with me, I recognize Jesus is my portion, and so it's all in him. Colossians 2 says, "You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So when you get him, you get everything that you lack. You get everything that you lack. Do you ever stop to think about what a promise that he has for you? What a promises that he has for you? I hope that when I say these words now, it means a little bit something more. Did you ever think of it this way? When Jesus looked down and one of his last words was, "Hey, it's not all about this earth. It's not all about the corruptible. I go to prepare a place for you. That where I may be, where I am, you may also be. Do you ever realize that when you get Jesus, you get heaven? When you get Jesus, you get heaven. When you get Jesus, you get eternal life. No more crying over there. No more pain over there. No more disappointment over there. Jesus is our portion. This is why you feel it so strongly in your heart when you watch people that were so invested in the portion. They had put everything they had into it, knowing that what they were going to get back was an infinity more than they ever thought. They once held it so dear. They valued the significance of the portion. But then they begin to turn, and the voice of this world, the same voice of the serpent in the garden, when they couldn't have one tree but could have had millions of others, they sold it all for one tree. They turn to the weak, beggarly, empty elements of this world. And they begin to walk away from their portion. Now, this wasn't originally in my message. You can ask Amber. I was done yesterday, but this morning around 4:30 in the morning when I should have been sleeping, Millie woke up to get a drink. And as she finished and she went back to sleep, I couldn't. I couldn't go back to sleep. God began to speak to me so vividly. And he said, someone in your church is about to backslide. And I asked him who. And he wouldn't tell me. He said, only I am all knowing. And for some reason, I just started to feel angry. I thought, are you kidding me? You have it all. This is the time the church needs you most. How dare you walk away now? But God said, no. You have to love them like I love them. I gave you all free will. You have to let them choose my portion or the portion of this world. You need to show them compassion. And this is God talking to me last night. He said, I can easily ask you right now, talking to me, I can easily ask you right now, did I not show you grace in the times that you did not want to receive my portion? And I couldn't help but just to cry at this point. I couldn't help but just to cry. Church, we need to pray for a spirit of compassion for those who are falling away. We need to pray for the grace and the love that God has extended to all of us. We need to pray for the prodigals to come home. But we have to set the tables in compassion and in grace. But there is another side to this portion. And this is why we must pray for anyone that is choosing the portion of this world. Because Esau, he traded away the portion for a bowl of beans. Think about that. He traded his portion for a bowl of beans. Everyone has access to this portion. Everyone. And if you didn't know, I have to say it, you will receive a portion. Choose wisely what you value. In Psalm 17, I have to preach the other side of the coin for a second. Psalm 17, the Bible says, some will choose the portion of this life. In Luke 15, the prodigal son couldn't wait for his portion that was to come. He wanted his portion now. So he got what he asked for, and he ended up in a pig pen. And in Matthew 24, verse 51, Jesus speaking now, when the Son of Man will come back for his people, the Bible says he will cut those asunder that choose the portion of this world. And then he will turn around and he will appoint that person their portion with the hypocrites. What is the portion that will be handed to you if you walk away from Jesus as your portion? I think we all know what that portion is. It's a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you reject one portion, you will be handed another. But may the wonder of his portion captivate you tonight. May the promise of his portion encourage you tonight. And may the hope of his portion give you strength when you feel like you don't have another step to take. Charles Spurgeon said of the Lord's portion, "The Lord is our portion. It is incomparably more than if you owned all the earth and all the skies above it, for the earth is just a small point compared to the vastness of God Almighty." And he went on to say, "What an incalculable possession we have. No one can confiscate it, and no man can banish it." And this part blew my mind. Christ will give you more than the devil initially offered God in heaven. Christ will give you more than the devil initially offered God in heaven. He is our portion. He is our portion. I wish somebody would help me preach right now. He is our portion. When your cup is empty, he fills up the longing of your soul. And he doesn't just fill it up, but he overflows it. He fills it to the brim, and it overflows. And it's overflowing in your life tonight. For all that I lack, he is my portion and my strength. And although he is my king, I am no longer a servant, but I am now a son. I'm not a servant because he's my king. I'm a son. And when I'm a son, I have access to all that my father has. I have access to all that my father has. Jesus is letting us know tonight, he is your portion. Amen. Now, she's not here tonight, but I was so happy to see Sister Wanda Gilbert back with us the week after her heart attack. You know, she had that heart attack a couple weeks ago, but Jesus was her portion when her heart wasn't working on its own. Sister Peggy, Jesus is your portion when there doesn't seem to be enough oxygen for you. Mom, Amber, Jesus was your portion. Jesus was your portion when you felt like you were lacking and when you were told you can't. Your portion came in and said you can. Lainey and Caleb, Jesus is your portion tonight. Jesus is your portion tonight. Everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, if there is something that you feel is lacking, if a bank account is coming up short, if there's sickness in this place, if there's rockiness in your marriage, if there's anything that you feel like you are lacking in tonight, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your portion tonight. Now, Jesus just isn't our portion. Have you actually ever stopped to ponder how he looks down from heaven at your life and at all of our lives? How he looks down at you and thinks about you? Now, we've said it, Jesus is our portion. But if there's a little bit of a transaction, there's got to be a covenant, right? There's got to be two parties involved in the transfer of a blessing or a portion. And this is how Jesus looks at you, Brother Eli. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, the Lord's portion is Elisha Weir. The Lord's portion is Claude Biddle. The Lord's portion is Bo Sanders. His portion You are his portion. What does he get out of the deal? He gets you. He gets you. But brother Chris, I offer nothing. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. You are his portion. I'm going to say it again. Maybe some people are struggling to understand that his body, his church, what he bled and died for, that's why he did it. He loves us that much that when he looks down, he says, I get you out of this deal. He loves us so much that he says, I get you. I get your praise. I get your worship. I get your life given back to me. The book of John says, he chose us before you chose him. He had you ready. He had you ready. He had the contract drawn up. He was just waiting for you to sign your name. And when you were baptized in Jesus' name and you received his spirit, all of a sudden now you became his portion. That's pretty awesome if you ask me. You became his portion. You see, when Jesus is your portion, you don't look at 5 loaves and 2 fishes as lacking. When Jesus is your portion and he's part of the deal, you just offer what you have to him and you watch him do the rest. You see, when Jesus is your portion and you don't have what it takes physically, or you're struggling and you're needing a touch from a healing hand, when you know that Jesus is your portion, you'll get some friends and get on a housetop. And you'll get out a knife and you'll cut a hole if you have to in the top of that house. And you will lower down what you lack and give it to the master. Is there anybody that'll help me preach right now? When Jesus is your portion and all you have left is a little. If you came in here tonight and this is you, you came to the right place. You came to the potter's house. All you've got is a little meal. All you've got left is a little oil. Where you think you're going to give up and die tomorrow, the word of the Lord is coming to you tonight and saying, all you have left is more than enough for my portion. Sister Laura, emptiness turns into overflow when you have Jesus. Emptiness turns into overflow when you have Jesus. Water did not meet the standards of a special wedding. It gets turned into the proper wine when the master puts his hand in the situation. Jesus is my portion tonight. Now, the musicians can come, and typically I would invite you to stand as I come to a close. But as the musicians come, remain seated. I'm going to ask you to remain seated for now. Don't worry, you can get excited. I am coming to a close shortly. But I want to finish with some scriptures, and I want to finish with a story that I read. This is the word of the Lord to somebody today. I got no props this time. I got no volunteers. I just got the word of the Lord for somebody in this house tonight. God was preordaining for a moment when someone that walked in here and you didn't have anything left on your own. Jesus has walked into your life tonight. And this is not my message. This is his message. And he is going to let you know and remind you of Psalm 73, verse 26. And I know there's a lot of people that are at this point right now. I was at this point a little while ago. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God. Somebody shout, but God. Come on, say it like a preacher. But God, is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The strength and my portion forever, not just in this life, but forever. Forever. Hallelujah. But God, the strength of our hearts and our portion forever. Psalm 142, verse 5. I cried unto the Lord. Sometimes you can't just talk. You gotta let out a cry. You gotta let out a cry. It's the same cry, the same word that was used when the blind man shouted out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say it. He cried it. He cried it. What are we going to cry? God, you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Can anybody say that with your soul? Notice what it does here. We don't just cry. We don't say it with our lips. Say it with your soul. Say it with your soul. Get it down in the parts that lack, that we try to hide from everybody else. Our insufficiency, let it come out from your spirit. The Lord is my portion. That is why I have hope. I don't have hope when I look around, and as much as I love each and every one of you, you don't provide me true hope. You strengthen me and you encourage me, but there is only one that is the blessed hope. There's only one that we can hope in through the midst of a storm. Only one that we can hope in through the midst of a trial. Now, as you're seated, I'm going to share this story with you, and I hope this story blesses your lives. In the year 1905, 118 years ago, there was a Canadian educated school teacher. She loved to write poems, she loved her lyrics, and her name was Savilla Martin. And she was married to an evangelist, a preacher, and his name was Dr. James Martin. They were holding a revival in the year 1905 in Elmira, New York, which is not too much further north than the city. And while ministering in this city, they had been there many times. This ministry couple of a school teacher and her husband, Dr. James Martin, they forged a deep friendship with a family, and their name was the Doolittles. Mrs. Doolittle had been mostly bedridden for 25 years with various illnesses, and her husband, Mr. Doolittle, was handicapped from birth, and he had been confined to a wheelchair most of his life. But uniquely enough, this couple, the Doolittles, were known around the town of Elmira, New York, for their unbridled hope and their joy that they spread in the community. Oftentimes, Mr. Doolittle will roll around in his wheelchair down the street on his way to work, spreading love and God's peace and hope to anyone that he would encounter. The Doolittles were so very loved in the community of Elmira, New York. Savilla Martin, the preacher's wife, was so impacted by the resilient spirit that she saw in Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle that she noted in her journal, despite the Doolittles' affliction, they had joy. They were an inspiration to all around them with something that she called bright hopefulness. So one day, Savilla Martin went and visited the bedside of Mrs. Doolittle. And Savilla Martin looked at her and said, Mrs. Doolittle, I have to know your secret. I have to know your secret. How do you have this joy and this hope in the midst of your struggle? And Mrs. Doolittle looked back at Mrs. Martin and she said these words. Sevilla, it's very easy. Since I know his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he is watching over me. Now, Sevilla Martin was so moved by that statement, she went back to her living quarters that night, opened up her journal, and began for the first time to pen this poem that we have now become lyrics to a song. She first wrote, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home?" And then she wrote, "When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching over me." But she didn't stop there. She turned the page, and she picked up her pen, and the next thing Sevilla wrote in Elmira, New York in 1905, she said, "So I'm gonna sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching over me." Let's stand together all over this house, and let's let the Holy Ghost work here tonight. Church, his eye is on the smallest sparrow. You are worth more than many sparrows. That gives you every reason to take heart and to trust in the Lord. Somebody here tonight, your heart is empty. Jesus is your portion to fill it up. You feel like you have nothing left in the tank. Jesus is your portion tonight. And as the worship team leads us in this song, just close your eyes all over this house right now. And even if you don't think you have a good voice, that's okay. Let's all join together with this worship team and sing this beautiful song unto the Lord tonight. These altars are open. Would you come receive your portion that the Lord has to offer you tonight?